Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Man, I'm so honored to be able to be up here and speaking to you tonight. Pastor Brian's asked me to preach tonight. He's actually in Amarillo, Texas. His father-in-law had some minor medical issues. He's needing some rest, so Pastor Brian went in his stead to preach at his church and asked me to preach today. So I'm honored. I'm honored to be able to talk to you guys tonight. Thank you for being here. It's going to be a great night. I'll tell you, I was before I started answering the call to full-time ministry about 6 years ago, I was a firefighter for about 7 years in Henderson. I was a career firefighter there and enjoyed the job, loved the job, worked under a lot of different people, a lot of different lieutenants, and one lieutenant in particular, I got to tell a story about him tonight. He had a certain way of getting my attention, and he did this very thing, and it was an interesting thing that he did, but he'd kind of motion you towards him, you know, and you'd kind of walk a little closer, you'd kind of get a little closer, and he'd kind of motion again. You'd lean in a little bit. Everybody say lean in. You'd lean in a little bit, and then he'd say, I got to tell you something. Come here. And you'd lean in a little bit more, and you're kind of like up in his face. And, you know, you thought, man, I'm going to get something juicy. Something's like, this is going to be good stuff. Like, I'm about to get some good stuff told to me. It's going to be great. You know, this was a pretty anticlimactic way to tell me that he wanted to have baked beans for dinner tonight. You know, it's like, come on, man. That's a little anticlimactic, don't you think? Yeah, it was. But it's the way the guy used to talk to us, the way he would get our attention, the way he would draw us in. But what it did is it got me in a posture to listen. It got me leaning into what he was about to say. Even though it was about baked beans, it was some way to get me to lean in to listen to him tonight. So I kind of want to be like my ex-lieutenant tonight. I want to ask you all a big favor. I'd ask if you lean in tonight. Lean in tonight. Because I really feel like God's got something to say to each and every one of you tonight. God has a word from you. Jesus has a word for you. It's not just a word tonight. It's not just a word for tonight. It's a word for tomorrow, the next day, the next month, the next year, and the future years to come. I believe God's going to speak to you tonight. I'm going to give you some real practical ways and real scriptural ways to hear the voice of God in your life tonight. The Lord's got something to say to you tonight. Everybody say, lean in. Lean in. Okay, so have you ever been going about your business, going about your day, your normal routine, and all of a sudden you get a thought in your mind to do something good for somebody, to do something good for somebody? Anybody in the room ever felt that way? Yeah, somebody's got some of those thoughts? You know, and you consider doing that action. You got to a place where you say, whether or not you should do that very action. You ask yourself the famous question, I think everybody in the room asks themselves, and the question is, was that God or was that me? Was that God or was that just me? If you asked yourself that question before, just raise your hand. I think that's everybody in the room. Has anybody asked yourself that question today? Was that God or was that just me? We've got a couple people saying today. Was that God or was that just me? You know, I've asked myself this question a thousand times. And, you know, the Lord speaks to us in so many different ways. But in my personal experience, the audible voice of God is seldom manifest. Does anybody realize that out there? The audible voice of God is seldom manifest. And I believe this is the case for most Christians. Most of us out there have never really heard the audible voice of God, the intelligible earthly language that we speak in. We haven't heard that from God. And so, you know, if you look at the Old Testament, if you go back to the Old Testament, we see time and time again how God actually did speak in an audible voice. We look in the very first chapter, the very first book of the Bible. We see Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, where God spoke to Adam. He said, be fruitful, multiply. He spoke to him with his words. And again, in Numbers, we see where he actually declares that he's going to speak to Moses mouth to mouth. Again, back in Genesis chapter 4, he speaks to Cain. Chapter 12, he speaks to Abraham. Then he goes on, speaks to Jacob, and you see Elijah and Samuel, all these prophets, all these people, these major men of God in the Bible being spoke to in an audible voice of God. Well, I believe today is a little bit different, don't you think? We don't hear God's voice like that so much. Not to say that we can't, but we don't hear it as much. It's the opposite seems a little bit more consistent. It seems like the voice of God comes more in the still, small voice. If you recall the story in Elijah, or the story in Kings 19, where Elijah heard God's voice in the still small voice, not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in the still small voice. Oftentimes, God speaks to us just like this, but oftentimes, you know, we miss it. I've missed it many times. That still small voice that I want to hear so bad, I've missed it because of the differences in how we hear God's voice today. It's a definite different age than in God's history in the Old Testament. That age was much different. The age today is so much different than that age back in that time. And I tell you guys, there's a different way we hear him today. God stays the same. He's not changing yesterday, today, or forever. The Bible says that. But the way we hear him today is a little bit different than the way they heard him back then. It's pretty amazing that we can have a relationship with the one who created the heavens and the earth. It's pretty amazing that we can speak to a God who formed the stars and formed the nations that we live in. He did it all with his very hands. That's an amazing thing that we have this. Thank God that Jesus Christ bridged the gap so that we could have this relationship with him through the blood of Jesus. Thank God that we have this opportunity to call on him. You know, and it's interesting because it seems like because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of that very thing in our life, shouldn't God's voice be louder now? So there's not just one individual hearing from God like a prophet in the Old Testament. Now we all can hear the voice of God. It seems like he should be louder and louder than ever. But isn't it interesting? Sometimes it seems like we don't hear his voice as much. How many in this room felt that way before? Sometimes we just don't hear his voice. You're asking God, I need to hear your voice. You know, I think there's many reasons why this is, but I think one of the big ones is distraction. I think we're distracted sometimes. And you know, in the midst of my distraction, I've asked that very question that I posed earlier. Is this God or is this just me? Something comes up in my spirit to do. Is this God or is this just me? But sometimes that distraction keeps me from understanding. Yes, it is God. But God's always communicating. The Bible's very clear that God is always, always communicating. You'll see time and time in Scripture, time and time again in Scripture, where God's speaking to us. The Word says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. The Word says he's a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path. The Word says he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So what's that tell me? That's communicating to me that God's always consistently leading us. He's speaking to us all the time. Can I get an amen? Amen. God's speaking to us all the time. One of my favorite scriptures of the way that God speaks to his chosen people, the Israelites in the Old Testament, comes out of Hosea chapter 11, verse 4. It's a beautiful scripture. It says, I drew them with gentle cords and loving bands. It's not talking like he said words to him, but he drew them with gentle cords and loving bands. God speaks to us with all grace. He's the God of all grace. He speaks to us in beautiful ways. And it might be a nudge to walk left instead of right. It might be an urge for you to go and tell somebody else that Jesus loves them. It might be a prompt for you to go back and pick up the piece of trash that you saw on the ground that you passed just a minute ago. I feel like that's the still small voice of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's the still small voice of God right there. He's speaking to us more than we know. And sometimes we want to hear God's voice the way that we speak to other people. But it doesn't happen like that. See, God has his own language. And not that he can't reach down into our language and speak to us. God's God. He can do that easily. But God's got his own language. He's going to speak to us differently than we speak to other people. It's like the five love languages. Anybody out there ever read the five love languages? Great, great book on marriage. If you haven't read it, read it, get it. It's great. You know, my wife and I, Stevie, my wonderful wife, give her a hand clap, guys, please. Thank you. I think she's awesome. We both speak totally different. We don't have the same love language. It's different. So the way I speak to her, it's not the way that she's going to turn around and speak to me. It's not the same way. And so I've got to kind of get on her level if I want to understand what she's saying to me. And same is true with God the Father. He speaks to us in a different way, and he wants to speak to you. He wants you to understand him. But we got to kind of come his way a little bit and understand that we need to start to understand his urges, his nudges, his prompts, those things that come to us during the day. We got to start to realize what those things are in our life. More often, like I said, it is the nudge. It's that prompt to go somewhere where you didn't think you were going to go that day. It's that urge to do something completely out of your routine that you wouldn't have normally done. Those are the things I think are the still small voices of God. And they come to us all the time. All the time. You know, there was a man by the name of Arthur Blessed. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of this guy. He's on TBN from time to time. He was an amazing evangelist. He actually walked thousands and thousands of miles across every continent. He had a ministry where he carried a cross. And he would carry this huge cross on his back and had a little wheel on the bottom of it. And he would carry that thing across. His goal was to carry it across every single nation in the world. And he did that. He's a spectacular guy. What a fascinating guy, too. And I watched a documentary about this guy, Arthur Blessett. And I was fascinated. I was absolutely fascinated by the way that he said that God communicated to him. I was blown away because every time he talked about how God communicated to him, he'd say things like, God told me to do that, or God said to go here, or God said to go to this continent, or God said to go to this country at this time, at this place, and see this person. And I thought to myself, that is amazing how a man can hear God's voice so clearly. I said to myself, I want to have this same type of voice. I want to have this same type of hearing. And I started to kind of like get a little bit twisted. I was like, man, he's got to be special. He's not a regular Joe. He's just a special guy. And so I started even saying to myself, that's something that's unattainable. That's something that I can't get to. That's something, a place that I can't reach when I can hear God's voice just like that so often and so powerful and so clear. It's a place where I can't get to. It's a place where I can't get to. Guys, everything inside of me was saying it was a certain person. But I want you all to know tonight that thought process was a lie from the enemy. God reminded me really quick that, hey, that is a lie from the enemy. And God wants everybody in this room to know that he desires a special connection with you, just like Arthur Blessett asked for him. He desires a special connection where he speaks to you just like he speaks to the prophets of old. He wants that for each and every one of you. So the devil tried to lie to me, try to get me kind of off that mindset that I couldn't get to that place. But it's a lie. Everybody say, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. He wanted to try to get me not to enjoy that relationship that God has for all of his children. He wants that oneness for us. You see it in John chapter 17, verse 21. If you want to reference it, it's a beautiful, beautiful verse. Arthur Blessett, you know, I don't think that he woke up one day and had this spectacular gift, this certain gift that only he could have gotten. I don't really believe that. I believe it took a development. It took a cultivation. It took a seeking. It took a leaning in, if you will. It took a pushing in. It took a pressing into the presence of God and kind of cultivating an understanding of the urges, the nudges, the prompts, those type of things. It took him cultivating that understanding every single day. It was work. Can somebody say it was work? It was work. He was cultivating those prompts. He was cultivating those urges, those nudges of our good shepherd. And it was a beautiful thing that he was doing because he came up with, he did a lot of great things for God. You know, it's my belief that Blessett and guys just like Arthur Blessett, they slowly became better and better at hearing the voice of God. It was something that was happening a little bit better each and every day. They were being faithful in even the smallest things of picking up that piece of paper or going and telling that individual that somebody loves them or stopping for the stranded motorist and asking them if they needed help. He started doing those things, I believe, and it started cultivating a familiarity. He was saying to himself, okay, I'm getting this. Everything, every time I'm doing this, it's good. These things are good. These things are turning out good. Okay, now I understand that that's God speaking to me. The voice of God started becoming more clear and more clear and more clear. And it became more familiar, more familiar, more familiar. Before long, he was making decisions to go to Africa and walk across the continent. Before long, he was doing all these huge things because he had cultivated the voice of God. You know, when I hear the voice of God through the little nudges, the prompts, the urges, I listen and I listen to his still small voice. It gets louder and louder and louder. Gets louder and louder and louder. And the question I had before was that just God starts to turn into, yes, that was just God. And the thoughts that I had before of that person has to be a certain person to get this is not that anymore. We can become people like Arthur Blessett. We can become people like the prophets of old. We can become people like God has called us to be and hear his voice the exact same way that the prophets of old did. It's here for you guys. It's not like it's a certain person. It's not like it's an individual. It's each and every one of you. God sees this for you. I promise you. I've got a few things that I always ask myself. Questions that I always ask myself when the question comes up. Was that God or was that just me? Can you guys say, was that God or was that just me? spirit water break. Was that God or was that just me? I got questions, okay? I got questions to ask myself. I'm a systems guy, okay? You can't put God in a system. You can't, but this thing has helped me, okay? These are personal, practical ways, I believe, that you can ask yourself to figure out whether that was God or was just me. Okay, the number one thing is easy, and it's, does it line up with the Word of God? Does it line up with the Word of God? You have something enter into your heart, enter into your mind, and it's something that you feel like it's coming from God, or you don't know if it's coming from God or not. Rightly dividing the Word of God on these matters is critical. It's crucial. This is the Word of God. This is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. If any idea comes into your head and it does not line up with the Word of God, toss it in the trash can. This is the Word of God. This is what we stand on. This is the Holy Scriptures. Line up everything that comes into your head with this. So it's the Word of God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll tell you what, number two, question two, I'm going to get to in a second because I want to give you a list of ways. So this is a bullet point within a number, okay? But I want to give you a list of ways God actually speaks to you, okay? And I pulled these from different sources, and it's not a complete list. You guys may know one that I'm not thinking of here, but the first one is the Word of God. That's the way God speaks to us. You open up the Word of God in the morning, you don't get anything from it, that's not God. It's not because God didn't bring his A game to the table. It's not that at all. It's because we're not ready. It's because we're not pushing in. We're not going deeper. All right, guys? So God has given us his Word to look at, to dive deep into, and he wants to speak to us through that very Word. The second thing God speaks us to is this. And the first thing is actually the most frequent way God speaks to us. The second way God speaks to us the most is going to be from the voice of the inner witness. Number two, the voice of the inner witness. That's that still small voice. That's that little thing that you hear a few times a day saying, go pick up that piece of trash. That's that little voice that you hear sometimes a day saying, hey, be a little bit nicer to your wife. You know, those are the voices you hear. Okay, that's the voice of the inner spirit. That's the number two way. I'm going to go through the next ones really quick. Prophecy would be the next one. That's three. Number four would be dreams and visions. Number five would be angelic visitations. Number six would be a visit from Jesus. Well, that would be great. Number seven would be God's audible voice. Are you seeing a pattern? They're growing in their spectacularness. They're growing. Okay. And so, but the last one, you'll like this one, guys. A trip to heaven. That'll be fun, right? That's the most, those are some of the most spectacular ways there towards the end. You're going to hear God's voice. But here's what I understand about this. Okay, this is what I'm studying, what I'm gathering. This, the more spectacular it is, the more rare they happen in your lives. You're not going to go to heaven three times a year, okay? It's not like you're getting extra vacation time. It's not happening, okay? It could. I'm not saying it couldn't, but most of the time it doesn't happen. I only know a couple guys that's been in heaven. So, but anyway, you think about Mary, okay? Think about the mother of Jesus Christ himself. This mother Mary, she was visited by an angel one time in her life. Angel Gabriel came to her in the book of Luke. You can reference it. It's a wonderful book. And he came to her and told her she was going to bear the Messiah. One time in her life, the mother of Jesus was visited and spoken to by an angel with a message from God. So that tells you right there, that thing's more rare than anything. But let's go back to the number one and number two. The number one is hearing a word from God. Number two was the voice of the inner witness. If that one's the second most frequent one, shouldn't we be a little bit more understanding on how to hear that voice that's inside of us? Shouldn't we get a little bit of system on how to say, okay, I need to ask myself these questions when I'm getting this voice on the inside of me. I need to be ready to say yes. I need to be ready to understand if that's God or if that's just me. And so I'm going to give you those two questions now. The next one is question two. Okay, question one was lining up with the Word of God. Question two, are you ready for this? Is it convenient? Is it convenient? Okay, a lot of times what happens whenever you ask yourself that question, you can go ahead and just guarantee it's God if it's inconvenient, okay? Because a lot of times doing what God wants you to do is not going to be convenient. In fact, your flesh, it's actually in opposition to that. It's actually in opposition. Your flesh is going to push and push and push away from that very thing. It's not going to want to do that, okay, guys? Your flesh doesn't want to do that. It's in enmity. That's the word. I tried to say it right earlier. I couldn't get it right. It's in enmity against your spirit. Almost feels like there's a tearing going on inside of you. Has anybody ever felt that feeling and thought to yourself, man, that doesn't, wow, there's something going on here. It's almost like a tearing going on. That's exactly what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 describes when they say the very word of God is penetrating, dividing to the soul and spirit. It splits those two things. When God's word comes into your life, that thing starts to split off of you. That flesh nature starts to split off of you, and the spirit starts to soar if you allow it. Doesn't feel good. It feels like you're losing an arm. It feels like Jesus wins and your spirit wins, but your flesh took a horrible loss there. But it's okay. Everybody say it's a good thing. It's okay, and it's a good thing that happens whenever your flesh is fighting against that understanding. You can go ahead and bet on it. You can go ahead, and that's one of the biggest tells you can get that God's trying to do something. Not just me, God's trying to do something. Hallelujah. All right, that's question two. Is it convenient? So we got question one. Does it line up with the Word of God? Question two is it convenient? Question three, we got, is it good? Is it good? It's what you got to ask yourself. Now, I'm not talking about something that's pleasurable. I'm not talking about pleasurable, because how many of you guys know there's some good pleasurable things out there that you can get yourself into a bad situation, am I right? Yeah? Okay, so the good things I'm talking about are the pure, the virtuous, the praiseworthy, the noble, the true, the honest. Those are the things that you'll find in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. They list those things, how to think on those certain things. These things you can match up with what is good. You can say, these things are good. These things are good in my life, and I want to do these things, okay? If it's good. Also, the Bible says this in James chapter 1, verse 17. It says that all good things come from above. What's that mean? It comes from the Lord, right? Well, let's go to the opposite of that. Let's look at human nature. All humans, Romans chapter 3 says that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That no man is righteous, not one man. Okay? So we're the opposite of God. It sums it up in Romans chapter, Paul sums it up in Romans chapter 7. He says it in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. He says, for I know that in me, that is my flesh, that nothing good dwells. Nothing good dwells. So right there with that understanding, with those scriptures, I can say to myself, well, nothing good's coming from me, so it's not just me. It's a little bit different. There's something else there. So if all good comes from above, if no man is good, no, not one, and I have the thought to do good, I can go ahead and count it off that that's not coming from me, that's coming from God, and I need to do it. All right? Hallelujah. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. That's revelation. Now, I was blessed to be able to attend a prophetic impartation meeting with a man by the name of Randy Clark. Okay, I went with Pastor Brian. It's been several years ago. Went to Norris City to do this. It was an awesome meeting. I took so much from this meeting. Randy Clark, I don't know if a lot of you guys know his name. Randy Clark was a key player in the Toronto Revival or the Toronto Blessing in 94. It started, and people got healed every single night in this thing. People were coming to Jesus like never before. I think it's still going on, like every night. Somebody might know the answer to that. It's still going on, but listen, that thing went on for years. It was this huge blessing service. And Randy Clark was one of the key players, was one of the key speakers there for a very short time, I think, in the beginning, several months in the beginning over the course of that deal. And Randy Clark, I'll take so many things from that meeting, but something that really stuck with me, something that really impacted me is what he said, his philosophy on when it comes to listening to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. He says this, he says, sometimes I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit, but if it is, I don't want to miss it. Can everybody say, I don't want to miss it? Okay, I don't want to miss it. Randy Clark gave me this revelation there, and it's been a staple in my life for so long now that, man, if it's good, I just start to do it. If it's good, I just start to do it. But you know what? It gave me this understanding. It gave me, what does that mean to me? Okay, if I got a good thought coming to my body, coming to my mind, coming to my heart, wherever you want to call it, if I got this thing good coming to me, if I choose not to do it, what have I lost? If I choose to do it, what have I lost? Did I cause any harm? Did I do anything bad? No. Really, I just did a good deed. I did something good for the world. I did something good to improve humanity. It was good. Can everybody say it was good? It was good. At least I did some good. You know, I don't want to miss it. But here's the thing, too. Not only does it affect you when you don't do it, but, you know, a lot of times when you do good things, somebody's connected on the other side of that good thing most of the time, right? So if you miss it, you're not just missing it now. Somebody else is missing it. But if you get it, you're not just getting it now, but somebody else is getting it down the road. They're coming into that blessing just as much as you are. It's coming for them just as well as it's coming for you. Hallelujah. That thing is there. It involves someone else. It involves someone else. Somebody is on the other side of your choice to follow the inner spirit. Somebody is on your other side of your choice to be obedient to what God's calling you to do. There's a person there. There's a person there. It could impact that person for generations. Not just them. It could impact their legacy. I mean, we're all living proof of that. Look around the room. Everybody in the room, we have been impacted by someone's great help for us. It's an amazing thing, guys. You may say, these are all great, good things, Jordan. You're teaching some good stuff here with the points 1, 2, and 3. I get it. But they're great for the little things, right? They're good for, like, maybe picking up the piece of trash or maybe telling your mother-in-law you love her or, like, somebody, you know, saying something like that. But these are good for the small things, right? Yeah. What about some bigger things? Yeah, they're good for some bigger things. But what about the really, really big things? Because I know some of you in this room today are saying to yourself, man, I got some big things that I don't think that's going to cover, Jordan. Some really big things. I don't want to just do it because it's good. What about, like, what if you're asked to do, man, what if God puts in your heart or you get the feeling in your heart to give your car away? What if you get the feeling put in your heart that you need to make a change, an adjustment in your job so you can do more ministry? Well, those are big things that don't just affect a few moments of your life. Those are big things that don't just affect you picking up a piece of trash and putting it in the trash can. These are things that affect and extend out into your life. To your family, to your children, to your extended family. These things go for miles. These things go for miles. And I want to just say this. I want to disclaimer this. Don't use the Nike Just Do It system for this one, okay? You want to go to God's Word. Because, you know, if that happens, I'll probably find you guys with like a camel skin on your back. You're eating locusts out in the desert or something like that. You'll be like John the Baptist, okay? Because you give everything away. That's what you'll do. Is you'll give everything away. If everything comes to your mind, say, it's good. I'm just going to do it. You're left with like a cardboard box, you know? But I don't know about that. God comes back on the backside, but that's another preaching for another time. But I'll tell you right now, guys, I don't want to give you that and say recommend doing that for all those big decisions. The big decisions, you need to go back to the Word of God. That's still the number one thing here. You need to go back to the Word of God. You need to pray. You need to ask. You need to fast. And God's going to give you the answer, what you're looking for. He will, without a shadow of a doubt. His Word proves it. My life is an example that I've seen it in my life. I know others in this room have seen that example over and over and over again. You know, most of you in this room, I believe, know that I'm headed to Texas in about a month. I've taken a great position, honored to do it. Pastor Brian presented an awesome opportunity to me to go out and help a church in Amarillo, Texas, actually where he's at right now, helping his father-in-law. And I'm privileged and honored to do that. Privileged and honored to do that. I'm so excited about it. But, you know, in this very message, I was writing this very message on the way out. Stevie and I were going out there to check the land out, check the lay of the land. And I was writing this very message on the way out there. And I was writing about Elijah. I was writing about the still small voice. I was writing about these things coming up inside of me. And as I was pinning down the questions, the 1, 2, and 3, I realized those were good for the small things. And the big things that I was facing right now, I was like, I don't have an answer for that because it's such a big thing. You know what I mean? And so I went to the Word. So I went to fasting. So I went to praying. Stevie and I, we did for 7 days. And throughout that 7-day period, I read over and over again 1 Kings chapter 19. It kept coming back up. It kept coming back up. I kept reading it over and over again. The still small voice, trying to hear the voice of God in that situation. Because it wasn't a little thing. It wasn't even a medium thing. It was a big thing. I needed to hear the voice of God. And as I kept writing and as I kept going through that week, I kept going back to that. And come Sunday was the last day of the fast. It was church day. Praise God for church days. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen out there? Praise God for church day. Man. Praise God for a church day. So I come in here and I praise and worship my guts out. I laid it all on the line. I was sitting in that chair right there. And I opened up my Bible to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. God had been reading, I've been reading this the whole week, the whole 2 weeks probably. And the still small voice kept coming back up. And I'd opened up my Bible before the preaching for some reason. I don't usually do this. I don't usually prepare, I open up my Bible. I just wait until Pastor Brian says open up to certain scriptures, and I will. But this day I opened up to 1 Kings chapter 19. Sitting there looking at my Bible, just getting ready for this word. God, I need you to speak to me today. I'm hungry. I want to eat. I don't want to go another day of fasting, but I need you to speak to me. And Pastor Brian comes out. He says, okay, congregation, we're going to preach out of 1 Kings chapter 19 today. We're going to speak about the still, small voice of God. This huge opportunity, this massive, amazing opportunity just got confirmed by lining it up with the word of God. God showed me. He showed me. And he did it in an amazing fashion. He didn't just do it in this little way. He did it in amazing fashion. You mean, look at how many words are in the, or how many pages are in this. Mine has 969. Some of you guys out there have 2,000, 3,000. Depends on if you got like a study Bible or something. But the odds of me being on the same page, the same passage, that's not right. I mean, come on, that's God. I knew without a shadow of a doubt at that moment I was supposed to go. God was teaching me. He was telling me something, and also he was teaching me something. He was saying this, Jordan, you can expect to hear my voice, but don't ever expect how to hear my voice. That's for everybody. That's not just for me that one day. He said, you can expect to hear my voice. Don't ever expect how to hear my voice. I was looking for the spectacular visitation from an angel. I wanted him to come down, Gabriel himself. I wanted Gabriel come down in my bedroom and tell me, Jordan, you're going to go to Texas. Jordan, you're going to do great things for God there. Thumbs up, buddy. Didn't happen like that. And because I was looking for that spectacular thing, I missed the whole week that God was trying to show me. And he had to show me at the very end. He said, here, still a small voice, Jordan, come on, just listen. But I needed to cultivate. I needed to cultivate these things that I'm learning. God was teaching me this. You know, God will speak to you in your life. He'll speak to you in his language. Always, always, always be leaning in. Be pushing in. Be seeking, be cultivating, and be understanding the prompts, the urges, and the leading of our good shepherd for the small things and for the big things.